I have a friend who told me this week that when his daughter turned 18, that she received two credit card applications in the mail, promptly turned them back in, got a $10,000 credit limit on each of them, and went out and in about 2 weeks had spent $20,000. Yeah, that's what I thought. Nobody had set her up for that. Nobody had told her, you can't just go spend money you don't have to buy things you don't need to impress people you don't like.
Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today we continue in our series called When You're Hoping for a Miracle. In it, Rick shows us from God's Word that when it comes to living with more love, peace, patience, and self-control, we should never lose hope. That's because God loves us and has great things planned for our lives. Stay with us. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a book called God's Power to Change Your Life. This book by Pastor Rick Warren is perfect for anyone who feels stuck and unable to make real and lasting change. You can text the word DAILY to 99000 while you listen to find out more. That's PastorRick.com or just text the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called When You're Drowning in Debt.
I want us to look at the causes, the cost, the consequences, and the cure for personal financial stress. Now, the Bible tells us over and over, God warns us that debt is dangerous. In fact, God says debt is a trap. And he says you need to stay out of it, you need to avoid it. In fact, he says that when we buy things that we can't afford to buy, when we buy things in with no real intention of ever paying it back because we don't have that money, when you buy something you can't afford, he says, it's really a form of stealing. There's a lot to say about it in the Bible, but in the Old Testament, near the end of the Old Testament, there's a little book called Habakkuk. And there's a powerful passage there. It's on your outline. I want you to see in Habakkuk chapter 2. I always throw these small books in, sometimes as scriptures, because when you get to heaven, I don't want you to be embarrassed. I don't want Habakkuk coming up to you and saying, hey, how'd you like my book? And you go, oh, Mr. Habakkuk, I didn't even know you were in the Bible, you know. So, you know, I want to make sure that you're a literate believer. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, it says this. Woe, this is a warning, woe to him who stores up what is not his. In other words, you couldn't afford to pay for it. How long can it last? He loads himself down with debts. Shall not your creditors rise suddenly? Shall they not make you tremble awake? You'll become their spoil. Now, in this verse, we see four dangers of debt. I want you to notice every one of them. First, it says it can't last. It says debt always catches up with you. Now, you can put it off and put it off and put it off, but eventually it catches up. It says, how long can it last? I have a friend who told me this week that when his daughter turned 18, that she received two credit card applications in the mail, promptly turned them back in, got a $10,000 credit limit on each of them, and went out and in about 2 weeks had spent $20,000. Yeah, that's what I thought. Nobody had set her up for that. Nobody had told her, you can't just go spend money you don't have to buy things you don't need to impress people you don't like. But she did it anyway. And the Bible says it doesn't last. At some point, there's going to come a payday.
The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But first, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or Instagram, go to PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com. And click on his social media links. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. Again, that's PastorRick.com.
What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, Rick, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. Do you want to break free? Here's how. In the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren, you'll find practical guidance for specific types of change and a way to connect with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. As you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. We would love to send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks.
Once again, here's Rick.
Second thing about debt, a danger, is that it becomes an emotional burden. Notice it says, he loads himself down with debt. Circle that phrase, he loads himself down. If ever there was a good description of what debt does to you, that's what it does. It loads you down. You feel the pressure of debt. You feel the weight of debt. You feel the oppression of it. And it just kind of weighs you down, loads you down. Third thing that's a danger of debt in this verse is it says it can cause anxiety and it can cause insomnia. He says, shall they not make you tremble awake? Tremble awake. He said, you know what? You can't even get any sleep about it. You're rolling over and over in the bed at night worrying about how am I going to pay that bill? How am I going to get out of debt? What if my creditors come and take my house away? What if I lose my job? It causes you to be anxious, to be fearful, and even lose sleep. You're going to tremble awake. And then he says, you become their spoil. In other words, the people you're in debt to. And that word there literally refers to like an animal that's been caught in a trap. You become their spoil. You get entrapped by them. You become trapped by debt. Now, why is debt a trap? Because when you're in debt, you lose your freedom. If God were to tell you right now to move and go somewhere and do something for him, some of you couldn't do it because you're so caught up in debt, you couldn't get out of it. And if God told you, I want you to do this and I'm going to bless you doing it, you wouldn't be able to do it. You're not really free. You lose your freedom. In fact, the Bible says this up here on the screen, Proverbs 22, verse 7. Let's read it aloud together. Borrow money and you are the lender's slave. The Bible says the borrower becomes the servant, the slave to the lender. You actually are indebted to them. That's the bad news. Today, we're going to look at the good news on how you can get out of debt. Now, there are dangers to credit and there are dangers to debt. And the Bible says that debt is a trap. What I want us to do this morning is look at the danger signs that you're falling into the debt trap. And then I want us to look at God's way to get out. It's not easy, but it can be done and you can get out of debt and you can be financially free if you'll do it God's way. Now, first, what are the danger signs? Well, there are five or six of these danger signs that you're falling into the debt trap. And any of these would indicate that you're already in the trap. Let's look at them quickly. Number one, the first danger sign is living on credit instead of cash. Living on credit instead of paying cash. Now, if you're depending on credit to maintain your lifestyle, you're spending beyond your means. You're living beyond your means. You're spending too much. In fact, the Bible says this. Proverbs 3, 27, 28. Don't withhold repayment of your debts. Don't say some other time if you can pay now. He's saying, don't put your stuff on a revolving account that you say, I'm going to pay it out over the next 10 months. Just pay it now. Just do it now. If you can afford it, buy it. If you can't afford it, don't buy it. He says, don't stretch it out over a period of time. He said, pay for it now. Don't withhold payments of your debt. Do it now. Now, how do you know if you're living on credit? Well, it's real simple. You're not paying off your card every month. If you're not paying your card off every month, you are living on credit. Now, I'm not talking about using a credit card to just keep track of your expenses. That's okay. And if you want to have a financial sheet and you put it all on your credit card and you pay it off at the end of the month, that's not living on credit. That's just keeping a good record. But living on credit is when you have a balance at the end of the month that's not paid off. Or that balance is getting bigger every single month. And if you're not paying your credit card off every month, let me just tell you, you shouldn't be using it. You shouldn't be using it. Because you're living on credit instead of cash. And you say, why is that a problem? Well, there are three problems. Three problems to living on credit. One of them is it reveals a lack of contentment. It's saying, I've got to have it now. I can't wait. I'm going to have it even if I can't afford it. And I will charge it to the future because I can't pay for it today. I've got to have it now. I can't wait. And you know what that is? That's called immaturity. Maturity is the ability to delay gratification. It means you've grown up. You can put off something until you can afford it or it's the right time. Children do not know the difference between no and not yet. Have you noticed that? You tell a kid not yet, he thinks it means no. Because there is no not yet. It's either now or never. That's immaturity. Most of America's problems come from our inability to wait. Most of America's problems come from our inability to delay gratification. Sexual gratification, financial gratification, or any other kind. Because we simply can't wait. I've got to do it now. We have an impulsive culture. I want it now, and I want it all now. Now, the Bible says this on the screen. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. If I'm charging stuff on credit, it means I'm not content with what I have. I'm using things I can't afford. The second problem with it is it presumes upon the future. In other words, when you put something on credit, you are presuming you're going to have a job next month, that the economy is going to be okay next month, that you're not going to have a major illness or crisis, your car's not going to break down, and all. You're presuming on the future. And the Bible says nobody knows the future, only God. Nobody knows the future. Nobody could have predicted 9/11 was going to happen. You know, in August, nobody was thinking about what was going to happen to the stock market in September. And so it's really quite presumptuous saying, I believe everything's going to be great and I'll be able to pay this off. You might be in UCLA hospital next month. You don't know. The Bible says this on the screen, don't brag about tomorrow because you don't know what may happen. You just don't know. And it presumes upon the future. The other problem with buying on credit is you always end up spending more. Did you know that? Study after study after study shows that when you go into a store and you buy on credit, intending to buy on credit, you will pay on average, you will buy 23% more than if you were paying cash. Now, that doesn't include Costco. Just think if Costco took Visa. Oh, man, some of you'd be racking up $4,000 or $5,000 bills in Costco alone. I don't know if you've noticed this, but it's fun to spend money. Have you noticed this? How many of you think it's fun? I think it's fun. It's fun to spend money. It's even more fun to spend money you don't have. You know, it's almost liberating. It's almost, it raises you out of depression to spend money you don't have. But it's going to put you back into it as soon as you get into debt. And credit makes it too easy to buy things that really aren't essential. You just don't need it. Living on credit is the first danger sign. Here's the second danger sign. Delaying payments or paying the minimum due. That is a sign that you are already in the debt trap. When you delay payments or you pay the minimum due. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 13. It says, let no debt remain outstanding. Don't let it linger on. No debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt of love to one another. He said the only revolving account you want to have is the revolving account of love where you're always continually loving other people. We talked about that in 40 Days of Love. He said that's the only revolving account you want. Let no debt continue going on and on and on. Now, if you're delaying payments in the minimum due, let me just give you a little warning signs here, some red flags. If you're missing payments, if you're making the minimum payment, if you're making late payments, you're in trouble. If you find yourself worrying about your finances frequently, If you've had a check bounce for insufficient funds, if you are dipping into your reserves for today's expenses, you're already in trouble, friend. And we're going to have to talk to you about how to get out of this in the next section. So, delaying payments or paying the minimum. Number three, third sign that you're in the debt trap, unable to tithe or save. Actually, both. Unable to tithe and save. Now, these are two of the financial disciplines that God commands us to follow because they develop our character, they teach us contentment, they teach us to trust. Tithing and saving are the twin pillars of financial freedom, along with a few others that we're going to look at. Now, tithe means 10. It doesn't mean 8 or 12, or it means 10%. And God says the first 10% of what I make goes back to Him. Why? Well, God obviously doesn't need your money. I mean, He doesn't need it. So why does He do it? It's for my sake, not for His sake. It's to teach me three things. It's to teach me to be grateful for the past. It's to teach me to have God as my number one priority in the present. And it's to teach me to trust Him for the future. And He's saying, put your money where your mouth is. Are you grateful for all I've given you? Am I really number one in your life? Do you trust me with the future? Then He says, tithe. I saw a bumper sticker there that said, tithe if you love Jesus. Any fool can honk. Well, it's true. Now, I realize that some of you, this is really hard for you because you grew up not doing this. I've tithed since I was a little kid. My parents taught me, so it wasn't a big deal for me. Others of you, it's hard for you. 10%, I can't live without 10%. Then you're in debt. That means you're living beyond your means. And so I do it not, God doesn't need my money, but I do it because I'm grateful. It shows I'm grateful that I wouldn't have anything if it weren't for God. And God, you're number one, so I put you, give you the first part of my money, like you say, and I'm trusting you to take care of me in the future. That's called tithing. And then God says, here's the other twin discipline. At the same time, I expect you to save. You mean don't spend it all? Yeah. God says, I want you to save. And I want you to save for the reasons that I've given to you in your word. It's wise. You can't presume on the future. It shows discipline. It teaches you contentment. There are all kinds of good reasons for savings. In fact, about half of Jesus' parables that Jesus told have to do with money. And in those, He's always commending the wise investor. Investment is a good thing. Savings is a good thing. And God says, this is one of the twin disciplines that I want you to practice so you don't spend more than you've got. Now, if you can't tithe and you can't save, you're already spending too much. Notice these two verses, one about each. Malachi 3:8, the Bible says, will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. You say, well, how do I do that? You say, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. Said, you're not giving me the part I told you to give back. And then look at the verse on spending, Proverbs 21:20. The wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. In other words, as soon as it comes in, it's going right out. And if I'm not tithing, I'm not saving, I'm already in the debt trap. Number four, unable to pay taxes. Unable to pay taxes. If you're having to borrow to pay taxes, then you're already in the debt trap. Now, the Bible tells us, Jesus said in Matthew 22:21, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. Caesar says, you know, you pay taxes. Taxes are the investment we pay on our freedom. Somebody protects us, like we just talked about the veterans earlier today. Somebody paves the road. Somebody provides an education. And taxes are just our investment on the future and our gratitude for what's already been done. Listen, I've been in a lot of places around the world. They don't have taxes, but they don't have freedom either. And they're stuck. And there are no roads and things like that. Unable to pay taxes. Number five, a fifth sign that you're in the debt trap is extravagant spending. Extravagant spending. When you buy things just because you've got the money to buy them, watch out. You need to ask, do I really need this? Do I have to have this? When you buy things just because you've got the money, just because you can, or when you overpay, you buy something, and say, I know that's too much, but I can afford it. And you overpay just because you can. God says, you're headed for the debt trap. Notice this verse. Indulging in luxuries and wines and food will never make you wealthy. Now, this I need to park here for just a little bit because this is the season of the catalogs. Have you started getting them? You know what I'm talking about? Are they already coming? And at this time of year, they have to make up stuff to remind you you don't have it. You've already got more than you can need, and more than you can use, and more than you can wear. But they want you to buy more. And so they always remind you of all these things you don't have, and how did I ever get along without that? And a lot of these things are just luxuries. I mean, do you really need a $200 nose hair trimmer? And when somebody says, what do you want for Christmas? Well, I don't know. Then fine, you don't need anything.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Now, if you'd like a copy of today's message, including portions we didn't have time for, or you'd like to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional, just go to PastorRick.com. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle. You'll find this message and others along with more helpful resources. What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? People want to change, but they're stuck. Do you want to break free? Here's how. In the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren, you'll find practical guidance for specific types of change and a way to connect with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. Here's Pastor Rick to tell us more.
You know, I've been a pastor for over 3 decades, and I've been teaching the Word of God for over 4 decades. And in all of that time, the number one question I've been asked by people is this: how can I change? Or why can't I change? I've talked to literally thousands and thousands of people who want to change but are just stuck, and they can't figure out how to get unstuck. You know, the truth is, you can't change on your own because willpower alone isn't enough to make permanent changes. Sure, you can force yourself to change for a month or 2 months, but pretty soon you're going to go back to your old ways. Pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps is not enough. Talking yourself into a change by positive thinking is not enough. The Bible says true transformational change only comes through the power of God inside you. That's why I've written a little book called God's Power to Change Your Life. It's a really practical guide for making positive, practical, and lasting changes in your life. And how do you do it? By letting God work through you. Now, you and I both know there are a lot of good self-help books out there that they'll tell you the right thing to do, how to, you know, break bad habits and how to set good habits and all these great things. But they are missing the most important part. They don't give you the power to change your life. That power only comes from God. You can't get it out of a book. So let me ask you a personal question. How do you want to be different at the end of this year? What changes would you like to make in your life? What goals would you like to see accomplished in your life? Well, it isn't going to happen on your own. You're going to need God's power. And I want you to understand how to plug in to God's power. That's why this month I'm sending out God's Power to Change Your Life, a book that I've written. When you give a financial gift to support Daily Hope Broadcast and Ministries. You know, Daily Hope is 100% supported by listeners. We have no other outside source of income. It's supported by your gifts. And when you give to support this ministry this month, I want to give back to you this book, God's Power to Change Your Life. Thanks a lot for listening today, and thanks for helping support Daily Hope. We love you, we thank God for you, and we hope you'll continue to listen to this broadcast as we look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Now, we'd love to send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Just call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com right now to request the book, God's Power to Change Your Life by Rick Warren. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Thanks so much. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.